One of the things that we've been studying in Bible study the past few weeks is the value of historical things, historical evidence, and the value of history. A lot of people, when you mention history, they curl up their nose and they hate history. History is hard because you have to remember names and dates and places and on and on and on. And it takes a while for that to sink into our minds unless you're really into those kinds of things. I was very blessed in my college years, undergraduate years, years at Moody Bible Institute, and years at Course of Study now, to have some sort of history or church history class in the past three or four places where I've been studying. Very first off, at Lock Haven University's Clearfield campus, world history was studied in terms of religion because our professor was a Christian lady and she found curriculum to teach how world history revolved around and was moved by religion, which is very true when you study history and think about it. And then lo and behold, in Moody Bible Institute studying church history, the names and the places started to click a little bit. I started to remember a little bit of what I had learned in my undergraduate studies as I went over it the second time and learned about those places. But then the third time studying about them, a course of study over the past 5 years at the theological school in Ohio, things really started to click and I learned the value of history in helping us to understand and validate who we are, where we are in society, and what's important to us. A lot of people remember July 20th, 1969, the first man on the moon. You remember the day of the assassination of JFK, the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., how that stirred our nation. We saw it on the news, we read about it in the papers, saw it on the televisions, or maybe back in the day in 1945, if you were living then, when the atomic bomb was dropped on August 6th in Hiroshima. Days in history that changed the course of history for the whole world. One of them, most recently, was September 11, 2001. Changed the history of the world forever. You know, the planes, the terrorist planes flying into the Pentagon and into the World Trade Center, and how those brave people on that third plane took a stand and decided not to let the terrorists overpower them. And unfortunately, the plane plunged to the ground in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. These events change us. They change our culture. They change the history of who we are forever. And they affect us in some way or another. Since September 11th, 2001, everything has changed involving security. And here we are nowadays talking about arming teachers in schools, having guns in church, protecting ourselves. And we are truly changed people because of the events of history. We saw on the news about things as they unfolded on September 11th, and as things unfold whenever there's a shooting, we see the news come on television about it, we read about it in the paper, and we read about the various accounts of what happened, and they dissect it right down to the most minute detail of the phone service, the cell phone service that the man on the plane had on his phone that called his wife and told her goodbye. They dissect it to pieces. Now, for some people, we look at these things and we say, that doesn't really affect me. I live a long ways away from that. That's never going to happen here. How foolish that is. How foolish it is, because history confronts us with the realities of the past, that if it's happened before, it can happen again. There's no reason why it can't. Secondly, history teaches us
with the hopes that we won't make the same mistakes. Thirdly, history gives us a foundation to build on. We see what happened, maybe what went wrong, what we really should have been doing or needed, and we build on that. We build on that. People say, well, and it's easy to say, I don't believe what happened in New York City. But you can only deny it for so long until you go and see for yourself a hole in the ground. Now there's a new structure built there. And you understand, yes, this really happened because you examined it for yourself. In the same way with Jesus and his resurrection, the empty tomb. As I said, we've been studying in Bible study about the importance of history and the importance of the writers. There are many writers. The Jewish historian Josephus is one great writer that we read his books, his writings, about the things that were happening back around the time of Jesus. We can get a better understanding of the culture and what was going on back then. This is the greatest history book that's ever been written. And people say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you can only deny it so long until you start examining it for yourself and you understand that, yeah, this stuff really happened. These guys were not crazy. Luke was a doctor. He wrote very meticulously. He wrote detailed in his writings. In fact, the reason that the books are in the New Testament and in the Bible at all, if you haven't been to Bible study, is they're considered canon. They're considered the rule of faith, and they were only allowed in there because they were divinely inspired. They spoke about God. They testified that this is the word of the Lord. And in the New Testament, the writings of the New Testament writers were allowed to be in there because they either knew Jesus personally or they knew someone who did. They were a firsthand account of someone who did know Jesus. We say, well, Luke didn't know Jesus. Luke knew Paul. He went with Paul on missionary trips. Some people believe Luke knew Mary. He got some of his information from Mary. But in these writings, we're confronted with something that happened a long time ago. It's very easy to cast it off and say, oh, that doesn't really affect me. That happened thousands of years ago. This is 2018. Things are different now. We're smarter now. We're more intelligent. We're more enlightened. We have more writings now. And we go on and on and on and on. We can only deny history so long. We can only deny its reality so long. When you start examining it and say, this is one history book I'm going to look at a little bit and see what the eyewitness accounts tell us. You know, those people on the news, on television, and in the newspaper writers, they want your money. They want you to watch them and listen to them so they can get advertisers and they can get money. So you can't trust them. You can't trust them. One guy says one thing, another day says another. You turn the channels, this channel's bashing somebody, this channel's praising them. You don't know what to believe, and we are one confused culture, you see. And if anybody really can tell us what happened in that day in New York City, it's somebody that was standing there watching it happen, right? That's the person to believe. The person that experienced it themselves and their eyewitness accounts. We got them. The eyewitness accounts, the writings, the testimonies, the history about the empty grave, the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. There is very much value when the writers write. Luke writes about Jesus, about his victory over death. He writes to his friend Theophilus about the things that had happened about Jesus. John, the disciple that Jesus loved, it tells us, wrote in 1 John this, which was from the beginning. We've heard, we've seen with our eyes, we've looked at it, and our hands have touched it, and we proclaim concerning the word of life, which is Jesus Christ. We've seen him, we've touched him, we've heard about him, we knew him. The life appeared, we've seen it, and we testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has now appeared to us. We proclaim what we've seen and heard so that you also
may have fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with us. You see, the purpose of this isn't to get your money. The purpose of this is to benefit you with the truth. You see, to give you the true story, the truth about Jesus Christ, the truth about the importance of accepting Him as Lord and Savior. Because, let's face it, folks, sooner or later our time's up. Sooner or later our time's up. I've been doing a lot of funerals lately. You know the hardest thing for a minister is to do a funeral for someone that they did not know whether they were a Christian or not. The pastor didn't know whether they were a Christian or not. And when you ask the family, you sit with the family, you say, what was their relationship with God like? Well, they really weren't a religious person. They didn't go to church. They really didn't. They weren't a believer. Do you know how hard it is? To lay somebody to rest, not knowing where they're going. Not knowing where they're going. If they're not a believer and they profess that, then I'm not a believer, then we know where they're going. The Bible tells us. But do you know what a blessing is? To be able to stand up here when we're saying goodbye to someone and say, this was their hope in life and in death. And to be able to stand here with assurance to say if they could stand right here one day and tell us anything, they would tell us this is not just history, it's the truth to live by. Jesus was trying to tell his disciples. The disciples, Paul, and all those that wrote to try and tell us, to convince us, the many convincing proofs that Jesus is the only way, truth, and life to heaven. That there is no other way. Why would God confuse us with multiple ways to heaven? We'd never really know whether we found the right way, and whatever way we chose, we'd never know if we were doing right or not on that way. God made it clear, He narrowed it down. He said, right here, this is the way. This is the gate you need to go through. Jesus said that gate is narrow, and few enter through it. And that gate's the width of one man, and his name's Jesus Christ. And what He has done is He's come down off of the cross. They put Him in the grave. The stone was rolled away. And as I said this morning earlier, the stone was not some great big gigantic thing that they had to lower with a crane. The stone was rolled into place by human beings and a seal put on it and guards placed in front of it. But it was opened back up. And the Bible does not tell us it was opened by people. It tells us it was opened by the power of Almighty God. Because if it was opened back up by people, we'd be saying our works can get us into the tomb of Jesus. And that's not biblical. But instead, the power of God rolled away the tomb and stone from the tomb as if to say, here, look, He's not here anymore. We say, well, where is He? Where is He? Well, we don't know. And there's all kinds of news bulletins. Well, his disciples came and stole Him. Well, somebody else came and took Him. Well, He wasn't really dead. He just swooned. So He got up and they rolled the stone away and they got Him out and He took off and He's in hiding. That's ludicrous to think that way. Because what does the history books tell us? He appeared to them. He wasn't in hiding. Jesus didn't have anything to hide. He had everything to show us. He wasn't in hiding. He'd overcome the grave. He appeared to them. He appeared to over 500 people. You see, as convinced the priests. And only by the power of Almighty God was He risen from the dead. And people are constantly trying to figure all this out so they can explain it away so they won't have to believe in this Jesus. But the Bible tells us that that's the only way to heaven. Because Jesus is leading us there. I want to follow somebody who's already been there. I want to follow somebody
who knows the way, has already gone that way, and now has turned around and is saying, come with me. You're not going to believe what it's like there. There will be no more suffering, no more pain, no more tears, no more hunger, no more anger, no more arguing, no more of all that. We'll be praising God all day. And see, every day for all eternity in the beautiful city of the New Jerusalem. Folks, the greatest story ever told was, it's history. It's history. Its history gives it a foundation.
You see, it gives us a foundation to build our faith on. It also confronts us with the realities of the past. Because you know something? You can look at these historic events, just like the events that happened in New York City, just like the events that happened in when the atomic bomb was dropped, the assassination of JFK and Martin Luther King Jr., the man on the moon, everybody's trying to say now, oh, they didn't really land on the moon. You can look at those historical events and you can say in your mind, they did not happen because they didn't affect me, and you won't let them affect you. But if you start thinking that way about this, that really didn't happen because you don't want it to affect you. I want you to think about your future when your time comes. How are you going to get there? How are you going to get there? Except through that one man, Jesus Christ. And we say, well, we have all kinds of other theories. There is no theory. Let's see. He's not here. He's risen. Remember what he told you while he was still with you? Why would Jesus lie to us? You see.
Very important history that confronts us with the realities of the past, teaches us with the hopes that we'll not make the same mistakes, gives us a foundation to build on. The death and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth, the value of history and understanding it, and the value of knowing the truth in this historical account. It brings us joy, it brings us hope for every day. It brings us assurance that the one who went there and promised to come back and take us will do that. He never broke his promise. Some of them are not yet fulfilled, but he never broke any promise. And someday he'll come back to take us to be with him so that we can be where he is. People saw it, they touched him, they heard him, they wrote about him. And we need to believe in him, then we might have eternal life. Let's pray.